Mr. Cronin, his first message this morning started out by talking about Mr. Armstrong starting the work through Jesus Christ, starting the work, this latter-day end-time work in the 1930s. It reminded me recently of reading through his autobiography, Mr. Armstrong, where he started about the same time the college. And in starting the college, he needed to come up with a name for the college. And the name he chose was Ambassador College. Well, the term ambassador has been throughout our church culture. We have seen that over and over again. And even to this point today, the learning institution in Cincinnati is called the Ambassador Bible Center. And we've seen that, but and we've realized that it's a tremendously important word, but as we are, have we ever considered ourselves as being ambassadors? Is that something we stop and look at ourselves and think of when we realize that term? Well, today we're going to review what it means to be an ambassador of Christ. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to see that spoken about here. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to read verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, save your place here. We'll be coming back to this. But the Bible in basic English translations says of this verse, states, so we are the representatives of Christ. Well, what does it mean to be an ambassador? Unger's Bible Dictionary states that it is one who goes on an errand. Ambassadors were considered distinguished and privileged messengers. The New World Dictionary states that ambassadors are a special representative, an official messenger, or an agent with a special mission. An ambassador is a representative or a spokesman for someone else. A representative of another culture, another way of life. God has appointed us to be His ambassadors when He called us and we accepted. He wants us to accurately represent Him to people that we come in contact with. The New Century Version Bible states it this way. It states, so we have been sent to speak for Christ. And how important is that? Tremendously important. The New International Reader's Version states, so we are Christ's official messengers, and we do have a message. The New Living Translation says, God is using us to speak for Him. And Barton's notes tells us that we are the ambassadors whom Christ has sent forth to negotiate with people in regard to their reconciliation with God. So how important is that? How important is it? And what is the meaning of being an ambassador? We are messengers. We are representing Christ Himself. Well, we've seen that, but we might bring up the question, well, who is our citizenship with then? Well, we understand that God has called us out of this world. Turn with me over to the book of John, and we'll see that. When we think about who is our citizenship with. John 15, we're going to read verse 19. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And this is a verse that we'll be reading shortly in the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread coming up. And certainly it's amazing that that's going to be around the corner. Turn with me over to the book of Colossians when we think about who is our citizenship with. Colossians 1, we're going to read verse 13. Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So we see that our citizenship is with God's kingdom. A Vertical Thought article by Randy Stiver, dated March 2002, states it this way. It's a matter of citizenship. Although we love our respective physical nation of origin and strive to be law-abiding, productive citizens, we have an overarching citizenship in heaven, the headquarters of the kingdom of God, from which our head of state, Jesus Christ, will come to bring true peace on earth. And Mr. Stiver quotes Philippians 3, verse 20. Let's go ahead and turn over there and read it. Just a few pages before the book of Colossians here. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that our citizenship is in the kingdom of God, what we all look forward to and are striving for. And as Christians, servants of Christ, we belong to the spiritual kingdom. Turn over to John 18. We're going to read verse 36. We're reading a lot of scriptures here, but we're seeing that we are citizens of God's kingdom. John 18, verse 36. Verse 36. And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So we see that we are to be ambassadors, and we see what an ambassador is. And we have seen now where our citizenship is, in the kingdom of God. Well, what are some characteristics of an ambassador? We're going to just review or touch on three characteristics today, but certainly we can all name more. And if you're meditating on this subject sometime, you might think of different characteristics of an ambassador, which you are one. Well, the first characteristic that we're going to look at is that ambassador is loyal. When we look at the word loyal, we can also understand that the meaning of that is faithful. An ambassador is loyal and faithful. And when we stop and think about it, we realize that God and Christ are completely faithful and loyal to us. Are we faithful and loyal ambassadors for Christ? For we realize that God's faithfulness for us is higher than we could ever even imagine. Our minds cannot even comprehend the loyalty of Christ's loyalty for us. God is dependable. Are we dependable? Can God count on us? Well, what is faithfulness, or what is loyalty? Fine's Expository Dictionary tells us that it comes from a word spelled P-I-S-T-O-S, and it means to be trusted, means to be reliable. It also tells us, if we put an A before that word, it means the opposite, and that means it means untrustworthy and not worthy of confidence. So are we loyal and faithful ambassadors? Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 20, the book of wisdom. We're going to read verse 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Now, certainly we're all familiar with and aware of people that proclaim their own goodness. And this states that most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? Are we that person? Are we a faithful ambassador? An ambassador does not speak his own agenda, but he advances the positions of his leader or his country or his citizenship. Turn with me over a few pages to Proverbs 25 and verse 13. Proverbs 25 and verse 13. And talking about being loyal and faithful. Verse 13, like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Peter Eddington, in a sermon he gave December of 2002, put it this way. He stated, if you're sent off to do something and you report back having completed the task admirably, then it refreshes the soul of those who sent you. Goes on to say that a faithful messenger will fulfill his task with utter dependability, which according to this verse that we just read, can be a refreshing change in this sometimes unfaithful world. Certainly when we look around the world about us, we see an unfaithful world. And that reminds us of the scripture, who can find a faithful man that we just read. We don't need to turn there in the book of Galatians, but we realize in Galatians 5 where it lists the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, we'll just briefly mention some of those, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There it is, faithfulness. Right up in there with the fruit of the Spirit. All of these very important subjects. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew. And in the first message by Mr. Crone, he mentioned the parable of the talents. And I certainly appreciate how the two messages tied in together today. And you'll see that as we go along. Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 14. And let's read about the parable of the talents. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, and we mentioned that, that's what we are ambassadors of. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. And verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. In verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Or we might think, enter into the kingdom. We have been faithful. We might ask ourselves, well, what role does the church play? Well, the church is the ordained structure that we ambassadors work together through. The church represents the soon coming kingdom of God. And when we stop and think about it, ambassadors don't promote their own ideas. They're loyal and they're faithful. If we have other ideas from time to time, and we're human beings, we're not all going to think exactly the same. How do we approach that? Do we make fun of those who are in charge or who are the leaders? Do we run quickly to the internet and try and spread a message around to try and influence as many people as we can? Is that loyalty? Is that being faithful? No, certainly it's not. As faithful ambassadors, we ought to bring refreshment to the people that we come in contact with. A healthy way of life. A way of unity. Let's turn over to Proverbs 13, and we'll see that here. Proverbs 13, we're going to read verse 17. Proverbs 13, verse 17. A wicked messenger, and an ambassador we've already learned is a messenger. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. And as ambassadors for Christ, we bring health to the family or the children of God when we have unswerving loyalty. When we follow our Father in heaven with loyalty, we bring health to the family, the church family, the family of God. Well, another characteristic of an ambassador would be that ambassadors are examples of good conduct for their country. Now, I'll stop here and I'll have to make a confession. Many of you remember years ago, and I won't ask for your hands if you remember, but years ago at the Feast of Tabernacles, we were given little bumper stickers to put on our vehicles. And I see some of you shaking your head. Some of the bumper stickers were different colors, and this would help people that worked on the parking crew know where to park you if you were handicapped or had a special need to park in a certain place. Well, as a young teenager with a fast car, a loud car, and not so courteous, I was always hesitant about putting that bumper sticker on my car because how I might be representing the church. For with the sticker on my car, my actions no longer reflected me alone. But as I drove through the town and people saw my actions, I now represented the church also. And by extension, I represented God Himself. So I had to work through that issue as a young teenager with a fast car, that we all have learning issues. And thankfully, I think I would not be afraid to put a bumper sticker on my car now. So we might ask, would Christ send someone to be His ambassador who is carnal rather than spiritual? Someone who had a bad reputation. Ambassadors strive to obey and uphold the laws of the land, the laws of their country or citizenship. Certainly, I wouldn't have made the best ambassador back then. What about our example, we might ask ourselves? Turn with me over to Matthew 5 and verse 16. Talking about our example. Matthew 5 and verse 16. How about our example? Verse 16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Very important. Our personal example of being an ambassador for Christ, our good conduct should go before us. It does have a role in the work of God, our work as ambassadors. God has used the examples of others to call some of you here in this room. And God will use some of your examples to call others. I didn't have it in my notes today, but when Mr. Crone mentioned the example in the book of Esther, I was so inspired, I think we ought to turn back and review that scripture that he mentioned back in Esther chapter 8 and 17. Esther chapter 8, verse 17. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews, for fear of the Jews fell upon them. And as we heard earlier in the first message, not only the fear of the Jews, but the example of their Jews and their good conduct, to the point that the people around them, they also wanted to have a part in what they were doing. So our conduct as ambassadors is important. When we think about characteristics of ambassadors, we realize that ambassadors are given a job to do. They have a work to do. We as ambassadors have a job. We have a work to do. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. This is the first scripture we started out with, but we're going to read in verse 18. Of chapter 5 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 18. I'm talking about we have a work to do. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us in the ministry of reconciliation, given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, a job to do. This is a Passover message. As we look forward to the Passover and the upcoming Holy Days, our job is to reconcile others to God. Be you reconciled, the job of bringing people to the reconciliation of God. That's what we are taught here in this verse. When we think about a work or a job that we have to do, what is the meaning of a work. The term the work we've used for years and years, it's become part of our culture. Some have said that the work is finished. Well, what does that mean, the work? Fine's Expository Dictionary says the task, a doer, a working performance. Work with diligence, gain, work out, commit, toil. It's a phrase that we're very familiar with. But how important is the work, and how important is it to us? Turn over with me to Matthew 24. And as we mentioned, some have said that the work is finished. Matthew 24, verse 14, is the work finished? Do we still have a work to do? Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the nations, in all the world, as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So we see clearly that the work is not finished. We have a job to do. In this same chapter over in verse 46, let's drop down to verse 46. It says, blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So we have a work to do. But what is the work of the Lord? We've often referred to the Great Commission. Let's turn over to where that is mentioned in Matthew 28, a few pages over here. Matthew 28, verse 19. The Great Commission. This is our work as ambassadors. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we see that we have the Great Commission, preaching the gospel, preparing the people. It's right here on our seal. And Christ says that he will be with us as we go about doing our job as ambassadors. We don't need to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians, we are told that we are God's fellow workers. And Barnes Notes tells us, in reference to being God's fellow workers, that we are always engaged in doing the will of God, in promoting his kingdom. The phrase means not only to be engaged in this, but to be engaged diligently, laboriously, excelling in this. It goes on to say that the work of the Lord means all the appropriate duties of Christians. Paul exhorts them to practice every Christian virtue and to do all that they could do to further the gospel among men. How important was that to Paul, to preach the gospel, to point people to his kingdom? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians and we'll see how important it was to Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read verse 16 today. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. How important was it to Paul? For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So very important. Very important to Paul, and should also be important to us. So what can we do? What can we do here as God's ambassadors? Well, it was mentioned in the first message as a list of several things that we can be doing to serve others and be Christ's ambassadors. But if we stop and think about it, there's not an individual in this room that cannot participate in some way in the work of God, that can't be his ambassador in some way. Certainly one of the most important things that we can all be doing is praying. Praying for the work. Praying for each and every one of us. And we can all do this. Praying for those who are in need. Praying for those who are going through difficult times. Praying for those who are going through difficult trials. And certainly we heard of those through the announcements today. What are some other ways or some other things that we can do? Through our tithes and our offerings. Our tithes and our offerings help support the work. The holy days are coming up. we'll be taking up an offering. Now's the time to be taking care of starting to plan for your offerings now, if you haven't been doing that already. So collectively supporting the worldwide work, and that would be the TV, the internet, the printed word in various forms, magazines that the church puts out, the booklets that the church puts out, study guides, radio, public lectures, cybercasting, and we could go on and on, how we can support the work through our tithes and our offerings. For it takes a united effort by God's people to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. It's a big job that God has called us to do. Collectively and individually, we can do God's work. There's the cardholder program. Our individual example. We heard about that before. Helping and caring for those that are in need. That's part of doing the work of God also. That's part of being ambassadors for Christ. Serving others that are in need, truly in need, is part of abounding in the work of the Lord. Part of doing the work of the Lord is to love and support each other. We don't need to turn there. We're very familiar with John 13:35, and one of the signs that he gave that we would be his disciples would be if we have love one for another. My granddad one time pointed this scripture out to me, and he said, "Do we have love one for another that someone walking down the street and talking to us for the first time will be able to know that we are Christ's disciples? Is it that ingrained in us that we have that much love one for another?" Very important. We should always be engaged in doing the will of God and promoting His glory, in advancing His kingdom. Are we diligent? Are we laboring with zeal? Are we serving those in need? Are we a light in the community? Are we known for our passion for God's way of life? Do our neighbors, our fellow workers at work, do they know us for our passion for doing God's way of life? We have a work to do. The work of the Lord is our work. Turn with me over to the last scripture today, and that would be in 1 Corinthians 15. And talking about the work that we have to do ahead of us, we're going to read verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So as ambassadors for Christ, Christ is telling us here that our labor is not in vain. He's telling us here that it's worth it, the amount of effort and work that we put into the work. He's telling us here that we won't regret the time and the effort that we put into it, praying for the sick, serving for those that are in need, working to tithe, give offerings, working on overcoming, working on visiting the lonely. When we are doing these things, Christ is telling us it's worth it. We need to be doing God's work. When Christ returns, He wants to see us abounding in His work. And that effort, He tells us here, will not be in vain, and it will not be useless. Barnes Notes tells us that other men are influenced and excited to great efforts by the hope of honor, pleasure, or wealth. And certainly we've all seen people that way. But Barnes Notes goes on to say that Christians should be excited by the prospect of immortal glory and by the assurance that their hopes are not in vain and will not deceive them. With our desire to do the work of God, we must realize and caution ourselves also that Satan is out there doing of work. And Satan's work is trying to deceive God's people, putting deceits in our hearts, bringing contentions among the brethren. Satan is always around the corner, promoting attitudes of accusing each other, sowing discord. He works to try and trip up God's people and get God's people on the wrong wavelength. These are the works of darkness. But we should be focused on God's work, the work of an ambassador. Well, we've seen that the work is not finished. And we have seen that we have a vital job to do. There is much to be done. We owe our supreme allegiance to God and His kingdom. Christians are ambassadors. You and I are ambassadors. And what a tremendous role we have. What a tremendous responsibility that makes us have. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. World News and Prophecy article dated July 2003, titled "World Heading into a Perfect Storm," states it this way. We are ambassadors for Christ. Through this publication and our other media and broadcast means, we plead with mankind to make the difficult choices the gospel encourages and requires. The world needs to know it is heading into the worst time of human suffering in its history. But there is a way out for those who genuinely repent and truly change their lifestyle. And all we have to do is look at the evening news. Look at the world around us as it rapidly disintegrates. The end time is here. The kingdom is something that we can look forward to. It's mankind's only hope. Today the world is crying out for help. The world is crying out for good news. It can't find it anywhere. It's striving at every turn to look for happiness. It just doesn't know the right way. It doesn't know the way of right and wrong. But we have the answers. We are these ambassadors. What an important calling. More important than any other ambassador from another country. We have a part in God's plan. And we must remember not only what we are, but what it means to be an ambassador. For we are ambassadors of Christ. In this country, this world, we see it disintegrating. It's self-destructing, and it needs to know why. It needs the good news that we can give. How seriously do we take our responsibility as an ambassador? Now more than ever, we need to understand that we are Christ's ambassadors. And if we have filled our role as ambassadors with diligence, zeal, loving kindness, loyalty, we can look forward to hearing our Father in heaven say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord."